Richard Alley, April 1st, 1970.
He built one when he was going to high school. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's the old Jonesport model. It's got a flush deck on it and cabin. And he gave it to his nephew when I was working at Harold Gowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice job for, for the style bow. It looked odd, for now, these times.
These days, I'd like to try and do that. I don't know if I'm going to have much time.
I started two or three and never did finish them. I never had anything to work with anyway.
Mm-hmm. You have to have a lot of tools that are specially made for it.
When I was a kid at home, I never had anything to work with. My father, he never done anything, just made lobster traps, and that was it. So he never had anything to work with. So.
The man down Northeast Harbor builds models, and he's made himself a whole raft of tools for working on small things, including a bunch of planes.
Yeah.
Made out of ivory, He made his own blades in them and used them for scooping out the planks and everything else. And
well, you can buy these razor blade planes, too. They do a good job.
Yeah, the X-Acto ones.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Well, I wanted to ask you about how you got into boat building. You said you started when you were young.
Well, the first thing that I built was a little skipjack. And I built that, I don't know just how old I was now, but I guess probably around 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a V-bottom sloop?
It was a little outboard boat,
Oh, I see.
Built out of plywood.
Uh-huh.
And I built that thing, and I thought I'd done something great,
Sure, I would too.
She'd go like a bird. And then I decided I wanted a big outboard boat. So I went and bought me some lumber, and I went at it.
Yeah.
I built that when I was 17. And of course then I never bothered anymore and I went in the Army. So when I come home, I built another boat. And then I got a chance to go to work for Riley Beale. So I went to work for him and I worked there 3 years and I learned, just about everything I know about the boat right now. I learned from him. I learned how to make molds and draw them up and all that stuff, And then I worked for Alvin B. a little bit. But I learned quite a bit from Harold Gower, too.
You worked for him after Alvin.
But, I worked up there. I learned I think the best part of the boat building I learned from Harold Gower. The good parts, good features.
But, he's a pretty good builder, I guess. I guess a lot of people around
here. I guess he was the best in his day. Of course, now he's old and one eye, I guess, blind and so on. But other than that.
He still put over a pretty good-looking boat there last week.
He's still all right.
Slick. Well, so that...
Well, I always had an interest in boats. When I was a little kid, I used whittle boats all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I learned in school, how to draw boats.
Was your father a builder?
No, my father's a fisherman.
Uh-huh.
That's all he ever done.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty well aware of what the fishermen want and generally involved with.
Well, the first new boat he ever had, I designed it, and then Clifford and I built it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing he told me he wanted was his knees going to comb it.
Yeah.
And other than that, I built it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And she suited him fine. He said, whatever you think's all right, I know it'll be all right with me. So
yeah. How old a man were you then when you did that?
Oh, let's see. I have to stop thinking. I was about 30, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
29, 30, something like
that. How long ago was that?
That was in 61, I think.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere around there.
All right. Is he still fishing?
No, Dad's been dead 3 years.
Uh-huh. He was pretty pleased with the boat, though?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Are you pleased with it?
Oh, I was, yes. I think that's the prettiest boat we've ever built.
Is that the first one you built by on your own model?
Yeah. Well, first big one.
Yeah.
I built a couple outboards, like that, that don't take my skill building now.
Yeah. Well, it takes skill, but it isn't as big a project as that. Well, how did you come up with a model? How did you...
Whatever, a model is something that you more or less got stowed away in the back of your mind what you think you want for, you know, to get the shape you want.
Yes.
And you can make a dozen models, and they'll every one resemble each other, you know.
Yeah.
You always get something that's like the other one.
Yeah.
But I don't care who it is. They'll change the model all over, but when they get done, it looks just about like the other one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm interested in what's back in your mind. What do you think of? You think of what the boat is going to perform like, or do you think of what its shape is going to be like?
Well, you have to think of both, really.
Uh-huh.
You've got to have a boat that's going to swing pretty good.
Yeah.
And you're also going to have a good sea boat.
Mm-hmm.
And you want a boat that's going to be, well, most people down this area want a boat that's got quite a lot of speed to it. And,
yeah.
And quite a few different things you have to think of when you are building a boat to mm-hmm. satisfy everybody. But.
Mm-hmm. How do you get a boat to swing as good?
Well, they got to be shoal forward, and a long overhang helps, but not altogether. I mean, they'll mm-hmm. turn good if they don't have a long overhang, but
mm-hmm.
I think they'll turn a little better if they do have.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is keep your bow up and have your rudder balanced, and
mm-hmm.
that way they'll come right around.
Snap right around.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the definition of a good swinging boat?
Well, which way do you mean?
How fast should it turn to be good?
How fast?
Yeah.
The quicker the better, really.
Uh-huh. There's no limit on how quick.
No.
Or is a boat length, per turn its own boat length? Would be great.
Well, that's extra good.
That is.
That's extra good.
Uh-huh.
Most of them will take, once and a half or twice the length anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of them will swing right inside the circle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good.
That's good, all right. How do you, let's say it this way, what goes into making a good sea boat, one that's good and seaworthy?
Well, to my opinion, a lot of people have different opinions, but to my opinion, to make a good sea boat, they got to be crooked on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Same thing as for turning well, too.
That's right, that helps. Now you take, one of these old style boats with the stern turned right up.
Yeah.
And they're a whole lot better sea boat than one that's got a flat bottom.
Uh huh.
Because a flat bottom boat will run down and twist this way and that way. What they
going
call
before the sea.
That's
yeah.
right. And the other one won't. But you
what,
can.
What
also,
do they call that when she twists?
Well, a lot of them call it fishtail, some call it old wives and all kinds
uh-huh,
of
uh-huh.
everything you think of. But.
I'd call it seasick.
Yeah. But to get a good sea boat, I think you've got to have something up front so when she's running off over it, she won't go down too deep. And
she's got to be full forward.
Quite full. And, you know, if you get them too full, then they go pound going head into it. But
uh-huh.
they got to have enough to keep them up.
Keep them buoyant.
And, as I say, good rock on your bottom. You don't want to get too much, and then they won't sail good. But
mm-hmm.
Just enough to keep a nose up.
What about now, you say going into the weather, you don't want it too full.
That's right, because they'll pound.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm almost afraid this one is going
uh-huh.
to pound. But that's what the man wanted, so that's what he's going to get.
Yes, yeah. Well, now what about going right along the trough of the sea? Is there any particular characteristics a boat should have?
Yes. A lot of them will roll you to death.
Uh-huh.
But if you keep a good bilge, that'll stop a lot of it.
And you keep them broad at the waterline?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A good hard bilge. And that's where... Now, that's where it makes a whole lot of difference, too, in a steady boat. Now, if you get one too crooked and the stern's out of water,
mm-hmm.
then they'll roll more.
Oh, yeah. They need the bearing.
Now, if your stern's down in the water, now, most every boat I've ever designed, that stern sets the thickness of plank anyway, maybe a little more
mm-hmm.
in the water.
In the water.
And that keeps them from rolling. They'll roll, but it's slow, you know. There's no mm-hmm. slatting, banging, and... They do a good job that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. We mentioned speed.
Mm.
How do you get that?
Well, that you can get average speed out of a boat, and then you can get whole lot of speed. Now, a whole lot mm-hmm. of speed, you've got to have a semi-V bottom boat, and you've got to drive the boat over top water, that's for sure. You
mm-hmm.
can drive through it.
Yes.
And if you get a boat that's round bills, now this boat here, If it was built the way it's supposed to have been built, it'd been a good sailor, which now mm-hmm. it'll suck in the water.
Yeah,
it won't go far.
She rocks up too far.
She puckers in on the stern, so she's just going to suck in.
Yes.
But if that stern was out there where it belonged, you put a lot of power in it, you'd see something go. But mm-hmm, mm-hmm. other than that, she won't.
Well, a good flat run like that, does that interfere with the seaworthy characteristics of a boat?
No. No. Not if you've got something up here to take care of it. Now, this boat, you've got plenty up front, because I've already built one similar to this, and she performs beautiful.
Yeah.
And he waves it right to her a lot.
Very good.
He's got an Oldsmobile in it. One of Toronado Oldsmobile.
Boy.
He drives the daylights right out of it.
Toronado Oldsmobile, he already has a propeller up forward, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's quite a formula to have to work out, I should think. You know, to balance all those factors all together. Do you keep changing around as you go, keep trying new things?
Well, it all depends. I mean, if you get a good model, everybody wants one like that, you got to stick with it. But I mean, mm-hmm. If it don't perform the way you think it ought to, why, okay, change up it. Now, when I was down the other shop, I made the model, and we built boats, and we built I don't know how many on it, on that same model. And somebody said, well, why don't you change that model so they'll go a little faster? I say, why bother something that sells? Do it straight. We sell all we can build, why change it?
Yeah, that's the point.
Well, somebody come down there, he wanted a different boat, so I made him a different model. That was
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
That's this model here.
That's what's in here. You've discovered this one sells.
This one will sell just as good. I got another one coming up just like this, and I got one that's going to be 36 feet and have just a half foot wide in this, but the same design.
Mm-hmm.
So they sell all right too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's no problem with you.
So the importance of design is really something more than just the length and width.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's a shaping of the bottom.
But you go a lot of places though and look at different models of boats, and you can see right off quick they're not all alike.
Mm-hmm.
About the only things alike, I got a flat stern and round stem, that's about it.
Yeah. Now I'm amazed at how subtle the differences are.
Yeah.
But the differences seem to make a lot of change in how they perform.
Yeah, that's right.
And even two boats pulled off the same mold.
That's right.
They'll
perform different. One loads heavy, the other.
Yeah, yeah, like the Red Wing and the Thoroughbred with that way. I guess the Thoroughbred had a little variation here. Their stern wasn't quite as rounded up as the Red Wings, but he's certainly not a sailor, I guess. Well, at your stage now, building here around 40, you've been building for almost 20 years, at least more than that.
I'll be 37 in June.
37, mm-hmm.
I've been building on my own this is 8 years.
I see. Well, now, if a man comes in and he wants a model, he wants you to build him a boat that's a really round build, you know, flat, and run curves up, and all this kind of thing. If he wants you to build a model which is sort of against what you've been building in the past, what do you do?
I build it.
You build it?
Sure.
Uh-huh. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. When he gets done, I'll probably throw the model down.
Very good. So in other words, what a man asks for, you'll build for him.
I try.
Yeah.
I try. I don't care, really. I mean, what I'm going to build, as long as I build the boat.
Yeah.
But I would like to more or less stick to my own model if I could, but
mm-hmm.
if a man wants something different, why, I'll try to give it to him.
Why would you stick to your own model? Is it a matter of...
Oh, I guess mostly a matter of pride, probably.
Yes, yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, and of course you know it'll work.
I know it'll work, it performs good, and so.
I suppose a man's reputation gets solidified on his model.
Oh, yeah. You can tell every boat, no matter who built it, I mean, you can tell exact the builder by just looking at it. No matter where you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can go right from here to, New Hampshire. Oh, you got them in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
in Rhode Island. You go right to Rhode Island. I guarantee you go to Rhode Island. And I think that's in Tiverton. Mm-hmm. And you go down to the dock and you look and you see a boat. And I guarantee you could pick it out and say, oh, the alley boys built it.
Yeah.
Because it looked just like they all got stamped.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed this in Mount Desert particularly because everybody had their own distinctive shear.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed as much here. Not quite sure why I haven't. I guess I saw more in the water down there.
Probably, yeah.
Bobby Rich's boats. You can tell the Rich Brothers boats
mm-hmm.
in a minute.
That's here almost straight.
Yeah.
A little kill that.
Yes.
Not much.
Yeah. Then there's Raymond Bunker and... he has a different shear, which is almost an S-curve. It really
yeah.
is straight.
Yeah.
And then
Rich build anything but pleasure craft?
Yes, he builds lobster boats. In fact, this is Bobby Rich.
Yeah.
Bobby in Southwest Harbor, I think, well, I counted 32 boats in the harbor there in January, and 30 of them were Rich built.
Yeah.
And the other two were Jones Brothers. So, his brother Ron builds too, but they build half and half. They had built half lobster boats and half pleasure boats.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll build the designs. A man will bring in some plans, and they prefer to stick to the lobster boat model, and they just give her a higher freeboard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, make her sport fisherman
yeah.
that way.
Well, course, practically, that's what we build out here, too.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
now that same lobster boat I built here, that 38-footer,
mm-hmm.
We built, when I was over the other shop, I used the same model. We built a 39-foot sports fisherman
mm-hmm.
on that, and then we built a 38-foot cabin cruiser on the same thing. The only thing different on the cabin cruiser, we put a clip of stem in it.
Mm-hmm.
That changed the whole boat. It wasn't no resemblance to the other model.
Yeah.
You'd never believe the difference it would make.
Yeah.
There was somebody see it up here at the end of the dock when they, just before they took it home, and they wanted to know where it come from. It didn't look anything like a Jones Sport boat.
Yes,
I'll
be darned. Well, you said that, I wonder if you could tell me about the man who came in and wanted this boat built. He said, this is the second one off this model.
Yeah.
Did he want any changes on the model?
Yeah, he wanted the stern narrowed up.
He wanted the stern narrowed up from, what, 9.5
to? 9.4.
9.4.
9.4 to 8.5.
Yeah. Does that cause the run to come up at all?
Well, not on the bottom, but on the sides. It rounded in on the sides.
Yeah. Do you want any other changes in it?
No.
She's got the same width amidships.
Yeah.
And the same spread up here forward.
Everything's same from midship forward.
Uh-huh.
But it's just from midships aft it changed. Of course, I mean, it would change the whole boat, actually, because the model for a 36-foot boat, it'd make it a little more chubby, but other than that, she's the same.
This is a 34. Well, how'd it go? I've never seen how these transactions occur. Did you just come in and look around when you're building another boat and say, I'd like to have one like that?
No, sir. I don't know if that man's up in the shop where I've been working. But he's seen the boats, and he was over here, I think. Yeah, I know. I built a skiff myself, and
mm-hmm.
he saw it, and he wanted it for somebody that owns Mark Island, I think he said.
Mm-hmm.
So he bought the skiff, and I was telling him about it. I was going to get through down the other place and build a shop of my own. And
mm-hmm.
He said, when you get done, he said, let me know. He said, I want you to build me a boat. He said, I don't want to build down there with him. I didn't
mm-hmm.
make him go.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, all right. Well, before I got a chance to tell him I was done, this other fellow showed up and ordered the boat, so I mean, I couldn't very well turn him down.
Sure.
And so he said, well, I guess I'll have to take second place. So he did.
Yeah. So you built, the first one you built this winter was the one you built for him, the other man. And you said the other shop, that was Clinton's?
Clifford. Way down the point.
Oh, Clifford Alley.
Yeah.
Is he your brother?
No, he's a distant relative.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see, where are we? Let's
Well, how does the transaction go? When a man places an order, does he put down any money?
Oh, yeah.
How much does he put down per portion?
Oh, he just gives me a small deposit, hold his tongue, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes time to do his bow, he'll give me a third down. Enough to make up the third, you know.
Yeah.
And then when I get a plank, I'll get another payment. And when she's done, I'll get the rest of it.
Third payment. But when you get the that first payment, then you buy the lumber you need. And it goes like that all the way through. In other words, mm-hmm. he pays you sort of in advance.
Yeah.
You're able to get your materials first.
He pays me, and he gives it me, and I'll give it somebody else.
Yes. Goes right down the line.
That boat all the way out to it.
Yeah. It goes pretty fast, I imagine.
That first payment don't amount much. When you buy your lumber and your fastenings and everything. Ain't much left for a fella to live on.
Yeah. You get your wages out of it.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. How about that last payment? That when you get it done, is that clear profit or?
No.
No.
Clear profit. Yeah. Ain't much profit, is it?
Uh-huh. Comes right back to the creditors, huh?
Yeah. Well. That's like life, I guess, generally.
Well, you get your living, your week pay, and if there's any left over at the end, okay. If there ain't, I mean, you just try it over and hope for the best next time.
Yeah. Set a different rate per foot rate, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are people generally getting around here now?
Well, the average, I guess, probably around $130 for it. I don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, some people, I guess, go quite a bit higher, I guess.
Gower is getting $200, I heard. And Alvin Beale, I believe, they said was getting $175.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the two highest boat builders around us. Matter of fact, I know that.
Yes. And that per foot is the way they measure it for all size lobster boats.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Although I should imagine, there's quite a bit, as you were saying this afternoon, there's quite a difference in the amount of lumber, depending on how you space your ribs.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of stem you put
in. Now, that boat right there, if I wanted to scoop lumber, I could save, at least $150 just in lumber on that boat. But I can't see it. I mean, if I can't build a man a good boat, I don't want to build him any.
Yeah. I can go with that. Now you notice you build pretty heavy. I was noticing the dowel board there just going on the shaft log, and you've got that heavy horn timber.
Yeah.
How big a timber is that?
That horn timber is 7 1/4. I ordered 8 1/2. They sent it, I think it's 7 1/4 by 5.
Mm-hmm. 5D.
Yeah.
Well, that should not spring much.
Shouldn't. No. Shouldn't.
And the keel for that?
Keel is 4 inches.
4 inches. How deep is she? Just the tip of the skeg, or no? Just the, I guess we could call this where the suction bar.
Well, where the propeller turns, in between the skeg and the horn timber, he can swing. I guess probably 23-inch propeller if he wants to.
Uh-huh.
You got quite a lot of clearance there.
So you've got almost about 30 inches.
Yeah, from the bottom.
Yeah. Where do you start the rocker coming forward?
Whole way.
Whole way. It's all rocker. How much rise do you get on there?
Oh, I never measured it. I don't know sure what the other is.
Looks like it's about 6 or 8 inches, isn't it?
Right on her rabbit line itself, she's got about 4 1/2 inches.
Uh-huh. Of course, the keel going as it does.
See, the way I measure from the end of the rabbit line to the end of the horn timber. Then I measure in the deepest part.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that's what I had, 4 1/2 inches.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That stem is made a little different than usual.
Uh-huh.
Most generally they make the stem all out of the same thickness of lumber.
Yeah.
So the bottom part of her stem is 4 inches and the top part is 3 1/2.
Oh,
yeah.
Do we notice it? Look at it.
Well, when I made it out, see, I just camped it here together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's all a fella did, I guess.
Well, why I did that, I had a piece 4 inch that was big enough to make a bottom piece.
Mm-hmm.
And my other piece wasn't, the 3.5 wasn't.
Uh-huh.
So actually it made it better because if you use a smaller piece for your stems and you do your keel, when you make them together, when you get ready to put your gabbard in, you get a little sag hole there.
Yes.
And you'll have to fit that gabbard in that sag hole.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you use 4-inch piece the whole way around, you get rid of that.
There's always a new solution presenting itself.
Oh, yes.
Now you use clinch nails now.
Yeah.
And you're going to, when these clinch nails go out, I guess, are you going to have to change the screws?
Yep, screws is the next thing on the list, I guess.
Yeah.
Either screws or anchor-sized nails. Yeah. I'd rather use screws myself.
Yeah. Saves having a man inside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do they go fast, screws?
They do if you use an electric drill.
Uh huh.
I got a variable speed drill, you know, and
You
can slap them in there quite easy than that.
Yeah. What are the tools that it takes to run a shop?
Gee, you take plenty of them, I'll tell you.
All you can get.
All you can get and more to them.
I noticed Alvin Beal there. He works with a bandsaw and a table saw, round saw, and I think he's got two electric drills. And then he uses draw shave and hand planes. Doesn't have a planer. He uses a regular planer and hammers and saws and nails. And a lot of body English, I guess.
Yeah. You know, up until he married this woman he's got now,
mm-hmm.
he didn't have very many tools.
Mm-hmm.
Very few.
Hmm.
And
you mean power tools?
Power tools. Yeah. He had hand tools. Not too awful many of those either, but...
Mm-hmm.
He had enough to do his job with, but I mean, he never had any spare.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when he married this second wife, of course, her husband had quite a lot of tools, and
mm-hmm.
of course, he got all she had, all he had, so
mm-hmm.
that helped him out quite a bit.
Well, that's a good combination. That makes it a lot easier. But he needs to step right along.
Oh, yeah.
It's a man's industry, I guess.
But you know, when Clifford and I was in together, we could build three boats to them two right along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We turned out a 32-foot lobster boat in 5 weeks.
That's going.
Already put the engine in.
That's the two of you.
Yeah.
That was working pretty long days.
That was a long day.
Yeah.
We wanted to go hunting.
Uh-huh. Wanted to get that month off.
5 weeks, she was already for water.
Mm-mm.
Shaft was in there. Everything was in there all but the engine.
Mm-hmm.
They towed her home with the engine.
That's going to. That's pretty much a record around here, isn't it?
Well, I don't think there's very many that ever beaten it. I mean,
nope.
There was one man probably could have when he was a fellow that was called George Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They claimed he could build a 32-foot boat in 4 weeks all alone.
Wow. You ever get any sleep?
No. No, he didn't sleep. He worked all day and all night.
Yeah.
He was a... Boy, they said he was a worker.
Yes, I guess.
But he used clinch nails, but the way he used to do it, he'd drive everyone through. Timbers uh-huh. all knocked pieces inside, he didn't care about that. He'd drive everyone in,
mm-hmm.
plug them, everything. And he'd go inside, take a hammer, and bing, 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 down and
clinch them all.
And around
them. It wouldn't be quite as tight clinch that way, I suppose.
No,
yeah,
they'd last. The boat lasted a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to make up. Yeah, see, they used to make the round sterns then.
Mm-hmm.
He'd make up a whole mess of sterns, all same size, and uh-huh. put them up over his shot. And when he'd get ready for boat, he'd haul the stern out and put it on.
Mass production.
Yeah.
Like one man mass production.
He was an awful smart man. He could do anything. He used to build houses, move houses, build boats.
He's one of these intelligent men that knows how to use their hands and their
head. Yeah, he could do anything.
Well, let's see. Yeah, why do you plank from the garbage up? I notice other people plank on
well,
the ways.
For one reason, if there's any sags and timbers happen to be pulled in a little bit one way or the other, like
mm-hmm.
you can take care of it with planking from bottom up, so you'll get rid of your boat through.
Yes.
And another reason, And if you start at the top and come down, and you don't have your ribs fastened in, which most of them don't, they wait till they get down as far as they're going one way, and then they have the ribs in, and they'll come up around. Okay, if there's any timbers that's in, you got to pull them out, they're going to pull out of that hole.
Yes. Yeah, that's
which
right.
That's not good, as far as I can see.
Yeah.
And, well, I think it's better than you get rid of putting that shutter plank in, all that pounding, twisting, and everything.
Oh, well, those shutters are tough, yeah.
So, I think it's really a better planker at the bottom up.
Uh-huh. What are the other ways of planking that you've seen?
Well, down this, well, this part of the country here, I mean, most of them plank from the top down. But
Go right from the top, right straight all the way down?
No. They start at the top, plank down around, don't flat at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And then they start the gabbard and come up and put the shutter plank in.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. I think in Mount Missouri, they tend to follow your practice. They go from the gabbards up.
Yeah, a lot of them do.
And go straight up and don't use any shutter planks.
No.
No.
Now, Willis planks from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, Clifford and I, we started it. And so he still does, I guess, and I do.
Yeah.
And, Ernest Libby Jr. over there, he's built some from the bottom up, and he's built some from the top down, and he says he can't see one way just good the other, I don't know how he's planking this one. He's building now.
I haven't been over there yet. I
haven't seen the one he's building now, but what he's doing. It's a big boat, I guess.
Uh-huh.
They started out, we're going to build 30-footer, now I guess 38.
Must have stretched his mold, huh?
Yeah, well, he... that's what the plan was, see.
Yeah.
He was going to build it for his father.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, his mother decided that she didn't want him to have a race boat, so she said, well, you're going to have something big enough work in, so, well, okay, make it 36 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they got all straightened around, they decided they'd make it 38.
Maybe we might do some tripping in there, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
So now I guess she's 38 feet, and, I don't know, 11 feet and a half wide, 12 feet wide.
Oh, right. Sizable craft.
A fella in here the other day told me about it. I wouldn't know if I'd seen it, and I didn't know. He said, well, he's a big fella.
Yeah, well, that'd be worth looking at, I guess.
He does a good job.
Good. How old a man is Ernest Jr.?
He's 3 years younger than I am, so he'd be 34.
Uh-huh.
Well, he'll be 34 in May.
He's the same age her brother is, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, there are some younger oldest here, then.
Is he three? I don't know. He's three or two. 2 years. I don't know if he's 2 years younger than I am.
Mm-hmm. I've been quite struck by the fact that there are quite a number of younger builders here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Down in Mountain Street, they're all in their 50s
well,
and 60s.
Well, he got his start from Riley Beale.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he worked with his uncle, Clinton,
mm-hmm.
for, oh, he worked with him, I guess, 7, 8 years, I don't know, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided he wanted to work for himself. So.
Yeah.
But he don't care much about it.
Mm-hmm. He'd go off to something else if he could.
He does.
He does.
He's shrimping, that's what
ah.
Yeah, he's shrimping, building the boat days he can't get out shrimping.
I see. So I best catch him on a bad weather day, huh?
Probably tomorrow.
Uh-huh, yes.
Probably tomorrow will be the day.
Yeah, the weather I've been hearing about.
Yeah.
What do you think of about all this shrimping now? Do you think that's going to have an influence on the boat building around here?
Well, I don't believe it will help it any. Because well, a lot of them is bought Novi boats, and
mm-hmm.
of course the boat that Willis is building now, I mean, chances are he probably wouldn't have built that if it hadn't been shrimping, because that's probably what they're using for next winter.
I was wondering, are those Novi boats noted for not being as strong as a local
boat? Oh no,
boat?
They're not strong, they know it.
Because I've been hearing some men talk about Irwin Alley. In relation to you?
Yeah.
Irwin?
Yeah.
He was telling me that a boat takes quite a bit of strain if it's dragging for shrimp.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a lot of hauling on it.
I guess probably.
I can imagine the Novi boats wouldn't stand it very long.
Well, I don't know. This fella got one right here in town in Jonesport. Of course, he's never been shrimping, but he's been scallop dragging. That's just about bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had that thing, I guess, about 20 years. And he hasn't done hard ending to it. I don't know how either.
Yeah, yeah. She's still carrying him along.
Oh, he goes every winter. Well, I've seen him have four drags on a buyer and walk there right off. Hmm. I know it's how it works, how you'd go.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and I went to 40 footer and I've seen that old crane fetch up and just snap just like that. But a lot of these fellas is dragging. Of course, down here they're using side gallows frames, but a lot of them, the west is using stern gear. They drag it over the stern.
Hmm. Just
that,
single.
And that way they don't have so much pressure on the side of the boat. Even.
Yes.
What pressure they have bringing the net up.
Yeah. You said, what was that side frame you were talking about?
Gallows frame.
Side gallows frame. Uh-huh. New term to me. I don't remember that. Well, I wonder if it wouldn't happen if they keep getting a lot of shrimp and it gets to be pretty good. I wonder if it wouldn't happen that they start getting two types of boats, one for shrimp and one for lobster.
They've already done that.
Have they?
Yeah.
They're just they're that much different now. The shrimpers.
Some got small boats for lobster fishing, and they got big boats for shrimping.
I have two boats.
Mm-hmm.
And some got a boat for lobster and another boat for racing.
Yeah. All in the same boat.
Yes. All I do is change pocketbooks when it comes to the race time.
Yeah.
And hope they don't
blow they have to have quite a bit, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
No,
what happens, they?
Sometimes they blow an engine up.
Oh, well. That's an expensive little item.
One year they come together and took the whole bottom part stem out of one.
Mm. Well, that's a...
That run him in trouble in a hurry.
I'd say. He started plowing water, wouldn't he?
He started taking some in.
Yeah. Hope they got him ashore.
The old Red Wing, when my father had her, he was racing one morning. Well, the 4th of July morning, rolled right pretty. He just pretty big. So he had the spray hood right off, and he was sitting on the engine box. And my brother's boat was down what they call Pig Island Gap.
Mm-hmm.
And she was laying kind of sideways. And he said he never thought of that boat. And the sun was just right, so it was glaring on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a six on the Dodge, you know, then. And she was going something pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And a wheel on a 52nd gear. He said when he thought of that boat, he was right on top of her.
Hmm.
He wrecked for the throttle and tried to push the steering. Of course, she had an old little tiller stick in her.
Yes, yeah.
Dad pushed the stick, but he said it's too late. He never hit the throttle. He went into battle.
Hmm.
It cleaned her right out, way up. Well, I say, boat on the waterline, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Broke her right back in her top heel. Sunk her right there.
Brother's boat.
Hit my brother's boat. Uh-huh. When he hit her, he hit right on where he struck was right on the beam, right across the stern deck.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she's headed, she slid right forward and hung up on the crane.
Mm-hmm.
And when she struck, the cabin, windshield, and everything went overboard, just like that.
Jeez.
Just like you'd knock her over the mall or something.
Yeah, pile of cards.
Just a crash, and that was overboard, and the whole works. He was in the bow, didn't know what to strike.
Yeah.
That ripped his pant leg, didn't matter, straight up the whole way.
I'll be darned.
Tore his shoe heel off, he never ever did see that.
Hmm.
And she had a floorboard in forward of the engine. It was a great wide board, went the whole way from the forward of the engine right to the bow.
Mm-hmm.
That broke that in, I guess, much 4 or 5 pieces.
Hmm.
Just right crossways, like that.
Yes.
Almost like you'd sawed it up.
See. Which one went to the bottom? Your brother's boat?
No. No, my father's.
The Red Wing.
She didn't really go bottom, no. She just filled up there.
Uh-huh.
His boat held her up.
Uh-huh.
Like, then they got the engine out of her.
Yeah.
That cost him, I guess, $150 or so to get that put back. That same job now would cost him $500.
Yeah.
Oh, vinyl beetle helped put it back.
Mm-hmm. That was back when they were using the 3-piece stem?
Yeah, she had bent stem in it.
Yeah.
They bent that stem back in her by a gene that looked, you couldn't hardly tell the difference.
Hmm.
When they first put it in, you could. They it kind of stuck off a little bit, but vinyl fixed it.
Hmm. After Daddy hauled her up for the winter, he went over and rounded it back like the old one.
Yeah.
And by jeans, it looked just about like it when they got it when he got it trimmed back where it belonged. She was some wide on that stem. She had a piece of half inch, half round stem band on
her. He was waiting for the next one. Probably ran below the waterline.
Boy, she fetched up. He was racing the thoroughbred, I think, that morning.
Mm.
And then Floyd Beale, that was Lionel's brother, he had her then. And he was wondering what the devil happened to Daddy, and he was trying to look back and forgot about slowing his down. He almost ran into that big ledge down there called the Hidehead there. It was a huge quarry. If he'd run into that, that'd been the whole of her.
That's right. Hey, racing can be expensive, I'm saying.
It can be. Yeah. It was that time. But you know, after that, his racing, his courage failed him. One man got killed, didn't he? If that had been the old Buick it was in her, he probably would have been. Because she had a fan on the front of her, like in the car. And there was no screening on it.
Yes. And gone right
if he'd gone in over that, it'd cut him off easy.
Yeah.
But as it was, he happened to have a different engine in.
Did they change engines around very frequently then?
Well, they used to, yeah. Sometimes somebody thought he was going to get outpowered or he'd pull her right out. I see some fellas by Jura, they were just young fellas. Sailboat right up one side and the other one. Haul the engine out of one, put it in the other. Hook her up and away they go. They had all kinds of work. They thought one boat would go a little faster than the other one, so they pulled the engine right out there and started in.
Right,
or on the mooring.
A shame if they missed. Dropped it, they'd be in bad shape.
I guess probably. Well, they tried her anyway. She didn't do any better, so they took it out and put it back.
Flick cars. That's what they
Well, they have a great time racing. I used to like it.
You used to race?
Outboard.
Outboard,
While I was in the army, my brother and another fella took my boat for that first one I built. They took her and won the race, what you like. All I got was my boat thrashed around, I never got a thing out of it.
Had a little fun on there,
I don't know whether I got a picture of that boat in my pocket or not. I don't believe I have. That was a comical sight to see, that first one I built. I'd work, and then I'd sit down and look at it and see what I was going to do next. Now, I guess I'm going to get a picture of it.
Had you made a model that you were building from?
Not then, no. I borrowed a set of molds. Built it. No, I thought I might have one in there, like I said. No, I don't.
I see you split your timbers.
Oh, yeah.
Way down.
Yeah, if I hadn't split them, they would never been there. They're too big.
Yes. Quite a lot of effort in bending those, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
One man, particularly.
Well, I had my brother help me put those in. He'd take them out of the steam box, pass them in, and I'd put them in. He'd put the clamps on them.
That's all it takes, two men.
Oh, yeah.
That's supposed to be pretty hard to do with one man.
Well, when I was down the other shop, we timbered over a boat and put top streaks on one day. Of course, I mean, that was one of them long days, but
yes,
we did. Yeah.
Took you a day to do this one?
Yeah.
Amazing how that'll curl after
it's wet. You just wouldn't ever believe that oak would curl like that.
Yeah.
you take and split it, and then sometimes they'll, one will go 2 inches out by the other one,
yeah.
And you have to haul them back in.
Anyway.
Let's see how we're doing here. Pretty well long. Oh, I noticed you do this clamping here. You know, I've seen some builders using these little metal, I guess you call them wedge.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they hard to get?
Well, sir, I haven't seen any.
Uh-huh.
When I worked for Riley Beale, they had one that you screw on the timber, and then you can screw it down and push the plank down with it.
Uh-huh.
Somebody brought it there just for a, more or less for a demonstrator, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They kept it and used it, and instead of using it right, they drove wedges under it and destroyed it.
Hmm. I've seen, fellow down in Missouri had some, he had a blacksmith build for him.
Yeah.
And Bert Frost used some too.
Bert Frost got a piece because it was on his timber, didn't he?
That's right, because on the timber.
Wedges, cross-laid the timber.
Yeah, this is the same rig.
Pinches on, yeah. I heard, I've never seen Bert, but I heard someone tell him about.
He had him quite a while. I wonder if it wasn't Harry Ginn that made him.
Bert Frost? No.
Who?
Harry
or Henry? Harry.
Harry Ginn used to be a black man.
Yeah.
He married Harry Ginn's daughter, I believe.
Right, yeah.
I think they said Tottenberger made the ones he's got.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a fellow down by the high school.
Yeah.
Does he do much blacksmith work for...
He used to.
Those people?
He used to do quite a lot of blacksmith work, but...
There isn't a blacksmith in town now.
No, no. Not a real blacksmith, no.
Mm-hmm. If you wanted to make a maul, a big heavy maul with iron rings on it, would you go and have him put the rings on?
Yeah, Hans Tottenberger, he can do that.
Uh-huh.
He's pretty smart when he comes to that stuff.
Very good. I gotta stop. So if you look at his shop, talk with him. That'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, he's smart. You know, he can do anything.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good carpenter, and he's good, extra good with the lathe.
Mm-hmm. He trained a machinist?
Well, sir, I don't know whether he trained or whether he just picked it up himself or what. But if he did pick it up himself, I'm going to say he's good.
Yeah.
But he is. He can weld. Now, he's made, I don't know how many fuel tanks for diesel.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me he never tested one of them for leak.
Hmm.
And he's never had a complaint yet.
He knows they're all right.
Now, I had to make two for that boat I built. And as far as I can see, they never leaked the draw.
Mm-hmm.
All he did was make them up, grind the rough edges off, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't test them.
Didn't need to. Well, are there any other people like that who contribute to boat building? Well, I suppose, of course, it's a lumber mill.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Sproul and the... Sproul Brothers in Searsmont,
mm-hmm.
they supply about all the oak down this way. Pinio used to saw quite a lot, but you can't seem to get a hold of any down here now. It's any good.
Oh, he gets the cedar?
He gets the cedar, and if you order oak from him, he gets it off of Sproul, and then you get it from him.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, Sproul supplies all of it.
Mm-hmm.
This all comes from Sproul.
And sometimes logboats have sail. Keep them balanced.
Ride and sail, they call it.
Ride and sail, yeah. Is there anybody that makes them, or just every builder builds his own?
Well, the fishermen sometimes make their own sail, and a lot of them buy them. They were buying some nylon ones a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody up around Crea or somewhere was making them.
Hmm.
I can't remember just who it was now. I know my father had one.
I guess these new boats are pretty well balanced, so they don't blow off very bad.
No, not too much. Well, I'll tell you, they got these big engines, and if they start to pay off a little, they'll just kick them, and they'll come right back. So
mm-hmm.
They don't really need to sail anyway. My father had a sail, I don't know if he put it up.
Yeah, I heard the same thing. Erwin Alley says he has a sail, and he hasn't used it for years. In fact, he doesn't think he's going to even put one in this new boat he's going to build.
As far as I'm concerned, that's just a frig having that step down there for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Just something else to catch rope around and die.
That's it.
What good is it, really?
Well, I guess those old boats used to be so much deeper, I guess. And,
yeah, but a deep boat would lay up better than a shore boat.
That's right. What am I thinking of? Maybe because they were deeper in the stern.
The idea of it was, I mean, they never had much power, and they couldn't maneuver the boat good, so they'd put the sail up, and the boat would lay head to it while it's on trap, and it wouldn't have to bother the engine. That's the main thing. They couldn't steer them high season. They'd look thick at four. I think that was probably the biggest reason.
By and large, these boats are really crude.
Another reason why they used the sail, they just hated to get rid of it. They had to stick the sail up someplace, so...
Yes, that's right.
Which is done.
Yeah.
Yes, I guess they were pretty reluctant to give up the sail.
Yeah.
They put two engines in for fear one would go.
Yeah.
Or wouldn't go.
Stick one over the village. You know, I've seen them take an outboard motor along.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened, and the outboard cross done, something, and sail on.
Yeah. Well, I suppose there was, especially if they got a storm coming.
Well, it is a good idea, really. I mean, you take even 5 horse outboard motor and you could get home.
Yeah. Of course, now they got a Coast Guard station and just a lot of fellows have radios.
Well, they're mocked up.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
They watch
these old codgers, they don't want the part of the money, you know, so they don't bother with the radio.
Yeah. Of course, everybody watches them.
Yeah.
Make sure they aren't left out there long.
Now, my uncle down there's got that old Frost boat.
Mm-hmm.
He's still got his walking stick and he's still got his sail.
Has he?
Yes, sir.
Huh.
The old spray hood.
Where is she?
She's right down there by Clifford Shop there, down lower in the, around the point
there. Oh,
down.
Wow, look at that. That's one of Bert's later ones, isn't it? Square stern?
The old Will Frost model.
Is it the round stern?
No, she's
square stern. Yeah. He started building them. Oh, wow, look at that.
She's a real old timer.
Huh.
Clifford and I put a shaft log in her and gabbards in her.
Mm-hmm.
That's been about 4 or 5 years ago.
Whose is it again?
Clarence Alley owns the boat.
Clarence Alley. Gee, I didn't know that. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to go quick take a look at her and some pictures if I can.
She's hauled out down there.
Hold on, that's perfect.
So you can look at the hull of
business. Whole business, yeah.
She used to be a pretty model boat, but of course she's gone out of shape quite a bit now.
Yeah, and they do. I know this one across the way over here is pretty well out of shape.
Yeah.
It's spread an awful lot.
Well, his isn't like that. But,
uh-huh.
Along the guy with playing, it was up and down this way.
Yeah. She must be almost.
But you know that's a funny thing? That thing, her bottom is sprung all kinds of ways, and her shear, I don't think it changed a bit.
Must have a good shear clamp.
She's built on frail. He says, He says, I don't know how she ever stayed to get along she had.
Yeah.
She's awful frail. But anyway, that boat is the only boat I think I have seen in my life that any angle you might put her shear looks the same thing. It don't change a bit. I don't know why, but she got a lot of shear too.
Yeah.
But it's true. There's no hump and sag. It's just as true as can be, and no matter how the boat turns in the water, you look at her shear and it looks just the same old.
Yeah,
a lot of boats will hump up, sag down on the stern or something when they swing, but
yes.
That one don't change one bit. I've never seen anything like it.
Credit to the design, I'd say.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Quite a good deal. Well, I appreciate hearing about that. I was going to, there's a Frost boat down in Gloucester, which is somebody restored her. It's a fellow, Bill Packer, he said he told me about it. And I'm going to, when I go down, I'm going to stop and ask to see her. Take me out and let me see her.
Yeah, Billy Packer, 8-foot boy.
Yes, I guess he must do pretty well with the fishing business.
Oh, he does. Oh, he does great. He's the kind of a fella that everybody likes him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he takes out the party, he takes out the big guys. Lawyers, doctors, none of these little fellas.
He's at the top of the
top. He's right on the top of the list.
Yeah.
And he's booked up all the time.
Good. I wonder if he found anybody to build his boat for him.
Not when he left here. He was headed for home.
Are they? Uh-huh. I mentioned some of those fellows in the mountains there who have been lately building some boats.
Like, yeah.
I don't know if he got a chance to talk.
He told me when he left here. Now, he might have changed his mind. I don't know. But When he left here, he was headed for home. He wanted to go home and watch that Eskimo picture there.
Oh, yeah.
Fight for Life or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
That's right. He said he was going home and watch that on television.
It was worth seeing. I saw that.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's quite a good thing.
Geez, I still can't get over that. Take that liver right out of that sea.
Yep. Read it right in. Yeah, yeah.
Blood running anymore. Yeah.
Did you get that little last thing they said at the end of the show? They said the Canadian government is bringing in, I think it's Canadian government, yeah, is bringing in by airplane, by helicopter, housing.
Yeah.
Across the houses, and this culture will disappear. Period. Yeah, that gets me, because, you know, they had such a nice thing going. Of course.
Yeah.
That's as long as the SEALs held out.
Yeah.
The SEALs started getting on them. They'd been in trouble.
They showed it on there a while ago, open season on the seal.
Mm-hmm.
They'd walk right up on the ice, see a seal, and they'd walk up there and try to play around with it a little bit, and then take a good big club and whack, and they hit.
Mm.
Kill,
yeah.
Kill
yeah.
The club.
With the skins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad they put a stop to that. Say, I wonder if you'd tell me how it is that a fellow spiles a plank.
I really don't understand. I suppose there's 2 or 3 different ways to do it, but the only way that I really know how to do it and do it right is you put a batten on,
mm-hmm.
and you have your batten true, so there's no kinks in it, you know, bend it right true. If this end down here is touching that end up there is 3 inches up, you've got a true bend on your batten and leave it right there.
Yep.
Then you measure down from each end, if that ain't 3 inches, okay. What?
Is it cold out there?
Well, it ain't very hot.
What's in the house?
Well, I can't answer his questions very well in the house.
Oh, okay.
We'll be done in a minute.
But anyway, if your batten is up 3 inches down there, you measure up 3 inches and mark 3 inches on your batten. And up here, you come up maybe 2 timbers. Measure down again, whatever you got, you mark it on your batten,
mm-hmm.
and so on and along. So when you lay your batten on your plank, you lay it right out straight, just like you have it straight on there.
Yes.
Then you measure whatever you got on your whatever you wrote on your batten, you write on your plank.
I see. And you measure down, and then you measure the line.
And then if you want the top a different shape than you shape the bottom, you bring your batten right back. If you want it 4 inches on the stem, you put it 4 inches on the stem.
Yes, raise it up 4 inches.
And whatever width you want your bat, you put it up there. If it's 4, 5, or 6 inches, whatever, you put it
mm-hmm.
on the end of your bat there.
Yeah.
And if you're getting, if you've got a sag here or a hump in, you're just taking that out, okay, you run your batten so it's got a true
fair line
on your top streak. And then you measure from the bottom. In other words, the top of the plank is already on there,
mm-hmm.
and the top of your batten,
yes.
again,
mm-hmm.
or if you've got the bottom of your batten on your batten, whichever. That way then you put it on your mark down here that you've already transferred on your board, and you measure up there, and you get your true line again up there.
I'm not sure I understand that. First time you put on the batten, for when you're measuring the bottom of your plank, you lay the batten on true, no wrench.
That's right.
Twist.
That's to get rid of any humps or hollows that's in your plank that's already on your boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get it true on there, so not have these sags again,
mm-hmm.
you run your batten whatever angle you want it on your boat, measure from this one you already got on
mm-hmm.
to your batten. Sure. And then you go right down there and do the same thing on your plank.
Okay. In other words, the second time you put on the batten, it's also true.
It's true to get rid of whatever shapes you got in your plank that's already on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I can straighten that out.
Now, just saying, this plank right here.
Yeah.
If you've got 4 inches here, you've got 5 inches here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this bottom one, you're going to fit into here to get rid of this. So you can have all true.
So you come all out even, even line. So what you do is you widen your plank to 5 inches here.
That's right.
Your plank, you keep 4 here, and then you
adjust
that plank
and get the top of this one even.
Yes.
To bedrock.
So you're always improving your situation. You can keep this top of this plank as true as possible.
That's right.
So the next one.
Make a good true job.
Have a good thing.
Well, sir, that's the last question I wanted to ask, and that's just about the end of tape. True.
End of the interview with Richard Alley.